I am on a mission. I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. Isn't it interesting? I wasn't born with that desire. Were you born with a desire to follow the Lord, to do what's right, to try to keep all His commandments out of love, not out of out of obligation, but just because you love Him? When did you start? How did you start? Who called you? How did you come? Well, a light was shown. A light was shown into our minds. It enlightened God's word, and we became His friends. He gave us the power to become children of God and friends of God. And Amos 3:7, God says He doesn't do anything without revealing it to His prophets. God will not do anything unless He reveals it to His friends, what He calls friends. And of course, in John 15:25, Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but friends. Now, it's best that we call Him our Master and our Lord, and we're His servants. But He calls us friends, and we are very happy to be so. I don't think it's an accident that the light bulb was invented. I think it was in the plan. It brings light. When there's darkness outside, you know, you can have a fire in the house and those kinds of things. But look what the light bulb has done. And even to the tree, especially to the tree this season. Along the streets, our streets, you see Christmas lights. And it reminds us of the light of God. And it brings warmth to our house and even to our lives. A lit Christmas tree is a beautiful picture. In Genesis 1:2, the earth was without form and void. Do you know, I believe that God made it that way. Some people believe that it fell. Some people believe that something happened on the earth prior to that. I'm not sure I can believe that because Exodus is very clear. The book of Exodus is very clear about it being formed, the earth being formed in 6 days. However, something else is going on. Something is being told. A story is being told. And in fact, a typology is being told in Genesis chapter 1, where He formed, before anything else, God forms the light. He forms the light. He didn't even form the sun. He didn't even form the stars first. He formed the light first. Well, where did the light come from? It has to come from a star. It has to come from, you know, the sun, whatever, right? We think light has to come from something. Well, not when you have God. He formed the protons. He formed the light to show upon the planet even before the sun was shining. And then, of course, you know, he separated the darkness from the light, or the light from the darkness. And He used light to do that. When you have light, you don't have darkness. The more light you have, the less darkness you have. Darkness is an absence of light. But it's interesting that the Lord said that He put the sun and the moon and the stars in the heaven as hosts. He calls them hosts. And did you know that He named them? You know, He named them the sun. There's Hebrew names for those. Yerech and others. He named them. It says in Psalms that He named all the planets, every one of the planets. And, you know, the new satellite, the new telescope was telling us there's more planets out there than we first expected. Hundreds and hundreds of billions of them. Hundreds and hundreds of billions of galaxies. And God named them all. And He calls them His host. Now, what does that mean? That they are there to serve Him. They're His hosts. Now, you remember in Egyptian culture and Canaanite culture and others that these things that are hanging up out in the galaxy, they can't move, they can't do anything except basically dissipate, you know, burn out. But many cultures believe they're gods. Many cultures worship the sun, Ra, and others. And God said, no, I made them. I named them. And they are here to serve me. They separate the darkness from the light. They help you. They guide you. If you look at the North Star and other things, you know, you can find out where you're at. You can travel across the oceans looking at them, their hosts to serve God and even to serve men and mankind. But darkness needed a light. And so God made these hosts. And then darkness needed a light because Satan had already fallen. There was darkness in the universe. In God's realm, there was darkness. And God said, I need there to be light. Here's a picture of it, the sun and the moon. But here's another picture of it. His name is Adam. His name and her name is Eve. And they're going to be lights. It didn't take very long for those lights to go out. Satan's light went out. Adam and Eve's light went out. So many other lights went out. But what was the plan? God's plan was always light. God's plan was always goodness. We go in Isaiah chapter 2, we see the word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It came to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. Neither shall they learn war anymore. War is darkness, is a time of darkness. And Isaiah is telling us that Jacob and Judah is in trouble. Israel's in darkness. But who else is in darkness? The mountains. Of all the mountains, there's a highest mountain. There's going to be one that's high and lifted up. It's Zion. And it will be Israel. And Jesus will sit on that throne. But watch this. It's above all the other hills. And all the nations shall flow to it. Did you know that the plan of God is to redeem men and women? It's to he wants to redeem the nations. We get to Genesis chapter 12, and we go through 17 in particular, and we find out that God has chosen Abraham, and he's going to choose the people, and we get to, of course, Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, where Israel comes out of the... So now they're supposed to be the chosen light. We know that light goes out, right? But his plan was always, always, to give a light to the nations. Israel was supposed to be that light, and it will be again. They will come, the Gentiles, look at this. The Gentiles are the ones that are going to say, let us go up on the mountain, to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob? Jacob, that no good, deceiving person. The one that all the nations today hate? Are we talking the same story? Do we know the plan of God? For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, there it is again, and shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, that's light, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. This is turning darkness to light. This is beautiful. This is Christmas. This is the plan of Christmas. It's too easy for America in particular, but Christians even, as a general, to get caught up in the baby in a manger and gifts. And we all know that materialistic thing. We're not going to get into that this year. We're not going to even talk about materialism. And we know it's bad, and it's gone rampant. We know that. But let's talk about the plan of Jesus Christ, the plan of Christmas. As you hang up your lights on the Christmas tree, when you look there, what is the plan? The plan is, in verse 5, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. See, how are the Gentiles going to get there? Jacob, come walk in the light. It's Jacob. It's through Jacob. It's through Israel. You know, when he used Adam and Eve, he gave them desires. Everything that they saw looked good, even the bad tree. It was desirable. What do you think happened when Adam first looked at Eve? You think he said, well, no thanks? I don't think so. I think he fell in love with her immediately. God knew what he liked and wanted. And so he gave each other. And he gave them the desires and the things that they needed there. And the stewardship of the planet. Why? To fulfill their needs and to fulfill his desires. His desires. This is what I'm going to do for Adam and Eve. This is what I'm going to do for Jacob. So I can bring light to the Gentiles so that they will seek me and find me and be saved. He doesn't want to destroy the nations. He wants to heal them. Now, in chapter 1, this is chapter 2, in chapter 1 of Isaiah, you start off with the problem. God gives you the problem. Jacob is a disaster. Jerusalem's going to be judged. Israel's is a mess. He calls them a rebellious child. They don't understand. They're a sinful nation. They're laden with iniquity. They're evildoers. They despise the Holy One of Israel. Now, this is the part we don't get. And this, again, is where the church kind of goes sideways in many ways. Wait a minute. They despise the Holy One of Israel. God's not ever going to use Israel again. Yes, he is. Because he made them a promise. But how is he going to get Jacob? How is he going to get Jacob to come? He's going to reason with them. Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. So I can get you to walk in the light. So I can shine this light to the Gentiles. And this light is, of course, Jesus Christ in the Word of God. Chapter 1, he calls them a whore. He calls them full of injustice and murderers. But God is able. God is able to save. He's going to save Jacob. He's going to call them because he still needs a light to the nations. And it's interesting, Gary said this very thing this morning. He said Israel was supposed to be a light to the nations. They weren't. That light went out. Can God ever get it flickering again? And the answer is yes. Because he made a promise to Abraham. You will be a light to the nations. You will be a blessing to the nations. And all the nations will flow to you. All the nations will be blessed because of you. So he says, come on, Jacob, let's go up. Let's go up and be a light. And then all the nations will come and be a light. And yet in 2022, there were 15 resolutions in the UN against Israel alone. Just this year. Do you know how many resolutions were against the rest of the world? 13. 13 to the whole world and 15 to this little tiny dot on the planet. That tells you something's up. Something is up. Oh, hope is lost, right? We're done. Israel's done. They can't come out of this. And yet, we know they will. The Christmas story tells us that they will. In Luke, look what we find in Luke here. Luke 1:16. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. That's John the Baptist. 1:32, the Lord God will give to him the throne of David. That's of course talking about Jesus Christ. In 2:4, Joseph also went up from Galilee and from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, okay? To the city of David, there's a key, which is called Bethlehem, another key, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. Does anybody see David in Israel here? Over and over and over. And he's a lineage of David. And the angel said to him, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And then Simeon says, For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Oh, you see. So 700 years BC, when Israel is writing this through the Holy Spirit, and God says, I kind of have a plan here, and I want you to write this down through the inspiration. Here, here is Isaiah, write it down, because this is going to happen. Can you imagine Isaiah going, you got to be kidding me, there's no way this is going to happen. Have you seen Israel? Do you know what we're in? The Assyrians are about ready to come and wipe us out. We are a complete mess. The Gentiles hate us. There's no way this is happening. Well, join the club. Because you've got Zechariah, who's old. By the way, Zechariah, the name means God remembers. If you go back to the book of Zechariah, it's that whole book is about God remembering Israel. And now, Zechariah, this Zechariah, father of John the Baptist, is supposed to remember. He's supposed to remember. And so the Lord has said, well, I'm going to make you kind of like an Israel. You're not going to have any children. You're living in darkness. And by the way, he's the one that calls his wife old. We use the English term, you know, advanced in age. No, the word is old. Now, she's probably not, and he's probably not as old as Abraham. They're probably anywhere between 60 and 80 years old. They have no kids. This is the picture of Israel. This is a complete picture of Israel. They're in darkness, no kids, no hope. And he's standing in the temple praying. What is he praying for? A light? No. He has a desire in his heart. He has a desire in his heart. So I want to just look through this. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot. That's when you're like basically throwing dice. You're not going to say throwing dice, but it's basic that way. Who's going to go in? They throw lots to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled. The man whose God, his name remembers, is to remember God. God remembers. He's troubled. Later on, you're going to find out Mary was greatly troubled. So now Zechariah is only somewhat troubled. Well, it means terrified. But Mary was greatly terrified. But the angel of the Lord said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. What are you doing in there? He's praying. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and to the disobedient, to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Wow. This is Isaiah chapter 2 coming about. This is Jacob waking up. But who's he using? He's using an old man and an old woman whose only hope is God. And yet when God shows up, they're like, what's going on right now? And what's he praying for? For Jacob? I'm sure he prayed for Jacob. I'm sure he prayed for Israel, but he's praying for his wife. He's praying for himself, and especially his wife, to have a child. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to go back to Psalm chapter, don't look, just go back in your mind to Psalm chapter 89. 86 and 89, there's a couple other places, but 89 in particular. There's a council of holy ones, right? So let's just have a little fun. God walks into the council one day, and he tells the council of the holy ones, clear off your desk, wipe everything off your desk. Whatever you're doing, put it away. We're going to do something different. Actually, it's not different. But he's going to catch them by surprise. He's going to say, okay, now here's what we got. We've got Israel as a mess right now. They're a complete mess. It's darkness. All the nations are against me. They oppose me. We're going to do something. We're going to do something new. You saw me do it in Genesis 1 when I put the sun and the moon up there. But we're going to do it a little different way. So call Gabriel in here. Tell him to clear his itinerary because he's got a huge work ahead of him. So Gabriel comes in. Gabriel says, God says, now, listen, I need two old people. Put this in your itinerary. This is what you're going to need. You need two old people. Both of them need to be from the tribe of Levi. Okay, I think I can do that. Right? We can do that. Two people from the tribe of Levi. All right. They got to be past 60 years old, childbearing, no kids. Okay, you've done that before. We can do that. No, we can do that. No problem. Okay. Their desire has to be to have a baby, though. They want a baby. Now, I want him in the temple 6 months before Elizabeth shows up with a child. What? I mean Mary. 6 months before Mary shows up with a child. And they say, wait, who's Mary? Okay, I'll get to her. But at a particular time, there has to be some lots, and Zechariah has to show up in the temple, and he has to be praying for a baby. They both have to be priests. They both have to be from the priestly family. They both have to be righteous. They both have to be, all of this stuff. You're kidding me, right? How are we going to do this? Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. You got to get another couple. Those people are from Aaron, the tribe of Aaron. I need two more people. These two people, she's probably 16 or so. He's probably maybe 18 or 19. We're not sure. I need two more people. Both of them have to be from the tribe of Judah. Both of them. We're talking about the same, we're talking about the same generation. We're talking about them, all four of these living at the same time, right? Okay, we'll work on it. Wait a minute. They got to love each other. They got to be getting married, not married. They got to be getting married. They got to be betrothed. Their desire is for one another to have a family, right? Kind of like a young Zacharias and Elizabeth. They got to want to have kids, but they can't have kids yet, and they can't be married yet. Just betrothed. Gabriel's writing all this stuff down, going, "How are we going to do this? This is crazy." Well, we can kind of understand how Zechariah felt, huh? When he said, "How's this going to happen? How is this going to happen?" So the Lord, the Gabriel says, "Well, you're not going to be able to speak until it does, because your name, Zechariah, says God remembers. God is remembering. You're up, Buttercup. You're it." So he shuts his mouth for 9 months. Now, what's he doing with Zechariah? I just kind of played this out a little bit. What happens when he goes and sees his wife? Like, let's say Zechariah is pretty popular. He's got speaking tours all over the nation, right? No more speaking tours. He's got to be home. He's probably home doing dishes. He's like mowing the lawn, probably with the sheep, He's doing all the husbandly duties. Why? Because it's romance time. It's time to have a baby. You got to be kidding me. Elizabeth said, the angel told you what? Yeah, this is what the angel told me. 6 months before Mary. Okay. At the same time, Gabriel, we have to have Quirinius. We have to have the census. We have to get Mary and Joseph up to Bethlehem. We have to have the star that was mentioned in Numbers 24. We got to have the wise men. Is that it, Lord? No. We have to have Simeon, because he's going to announce this. We have to have Anna. She's going to be waiting in the temple area for all this to happen. Anything else, Lord? Yeah, we have to have Herod, because it's got to be really bad. And Herod's really bad. He killed most of his family, by the way. It's really bad. Is that all? Right about that time, we need 12 apostles to be born. About the time of Jesus, we need 12 apostles. One's got to be a traitor. Is that enough? You get it? It's too much involved. Now, we can kind of understand like why Zechariah is going, what? What are we talking about here? We can kind of understand why the world's saying, what are you talking about? A virgin is going to have a baby? But we forget what happened in Genesis 1. When God created the earth and it was dark, and he said, watch what I will do. And he puts the stars and the moon and everything up there. And they're his host. And then he fills the earth with people, and some of them are his host, and you are his host. We forget. God has a plan, and it's bigger. It's bigger every day, it seems. It's too big to be carried out. And yet, just ask Sarah. Just ask Rachel or Rebecca or Hannah. Just ask David, Abraham. These people who lived through it, who are witnesses, ask Abraham. When Zechariah shows up, there's a man named Gabriel. I'm sure when he said that, my name is Gabriel, I stand before the presence of the Lord. You know what Zechariah was thinking? Well, wait a minute now. The last time I heard that Gabriel spoke to anybody was Daniel. This is the same angel that's talking to Daniel? And now I get it. Now I need to pay attention. And we're talking about a narrative that happens between people who are chosen by God and the angels who are ministers and hosts of God and God himself. That's where you're at. That's where we're at. And in using them, he's meeting their desires and carrying out his plan. He meets their desires and carries out this plan. Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years. And the angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. And that people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was able to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went home. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, same angel, was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at its saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her the same thing that he told Zechariah, do not be afraid, Mary. For you have found favor with God. Now here's my question. Have you found favor with God? You have found favor with God. I was listening to Catholic station the other day. I listened to it from time to time. Kind of understand their take on things. And they use this very verse to say, she found special favor. She found more favor. She found a different kind of a select favor. That's not what this says. She found favor. Now, she will be blessed among women. There's no doubt. but not above everybody else. They call her the mother of the church. She's not the mother of the church. There's no queen mother. What I'm trying to say is this. The same favor that Mary has, you have. Do you know that when the Lord was talking about John the Baptist, he said there hasn't been a greater man born among men, but greater are those who are what? In the kingdom. That's you. You know why? Because you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's no angels. I mean, there's ministering angels. Don't get me wrong. Maybe some of you have run into some. I don't believe I have. But the Lord is saying this. You don't need an angel. You don't need this stuff. You don't need a vision. You have the Holy Spirit and His Word. And now, this is the promise. This is the promise. That He said, Deuteronomy 20:30, and that you may love the Lord your God, obey Him, and hold fast to Him, for He is your life, and He will prolong your life in the land that the Lord swore to give His fathers. And over and over and over, the Old Testament says this. Psalm 37, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will what? Give you the what? Desires of your heart. Now, one time I thought I wanted a real big Jeep. And I still wouldn't mind a Jeep. Go plowing across the sands or the snow or whatever. But is that my desire today? That's not my desire. Psalm 145, the Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. And the point is this. Mary's desire was to get married. We know that because she was engaged. Joseph, and thank you for that, Dan, this morning. Joseph's desire was to be engaged and be right before God. And he didn't want to put Christ's name or God's name through the mud. So he said, I'm going to put her away. And so he was doing the right thing. And what did God do? He showed up. And He said, don't do that. Take her. Because you're going to fulfill your desires and I'm going to fulfill mine, God says. It was the same with Zechariah and Elizabeth. And He's doing the very same thing with you. The very same thing. Now I pray that your desires are not the same as you were at 12 years old, okay? They shouldn't be the same. They have to change. They have to move. And God will move them. But He will. You can know that He's doing them if you are fulfilling the desires that He has, number one, to be a light to the nations. Jesus Christ, the Son of Israel, a son of Jacob and Abraham, came and brought light to the nations. And now Luke said, I have studied all these things, and now I'm writing them so that you can know for certain. And now you know, the question is, what are we going to do with it? The next time that you go to pray, and you pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what does Paul say to pray for as well? And Jesus even, cast all your cares on me, he said. And Paul said, with prayer and supplication, make all your requests made known unto God. You can be a Zechariah in there praying for that thing that you've desired for years or centuries or whatever. The desires, the deep desires of your heart. But know this, that if the Lord answers them, it's for His good. It's for His plan. It's because you are in His plan. He's to bring the light back to Jacob, if you will, and to the nations. You are the Christmas lights on the Christmas tree. If it's dark, which it is, They're not going to see the tree. They're not going to see the cross. They're not going to see Jesus if you don't light, if you're not a light. And you are, because you're full of the Holy Spirit, and you know exactly what the rest of us know, that there's a Christmas story that we believe in, and we're not going to get tired of teaching and proclaiming it. Lord God, we worship you, and I thank you for every soul here, recognized here, and we just praise you for the opportunity to be a light in a darkened world. I pray personally for the desires of every person's heart here, Lord, that you will meet their desires. And in your way, in your time, and we have to say that because we don't know it, we don't really know, understand every personal plan you have. But in doing that, Lord God, move their hearts to fulfill your plan, to fulfill your desire, to tell the Christmas story, to bring good cheer to men who don't have it, who sit in darkness without a light. Help us to be that light in these dark times, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.